First, let me just tell you what I gave you here in terms of the pages for today. You should have a page that'll say Reish Samach Dalet on the top right. And underneath that, Geder Meleches Zogea. Okay, then? That's page number one, if you want to write a page number so we'll be able to refer to it. And then if you flip to the other side, you should have Reish Samach He on the, so that would be page number two. And the subject of these two pages is something that we began discussing last week on Wednesday, the issue of how to compare Zorea to Choresh, to Harisha. And that expressed itself in a machlokas between the Rashash and Rabbi Kivegan. I'm sorry, Rashash and the Mechaskin, thank you. And it's a twofold machlokas. Number one, there's going to be a machlokas about whether or not the condition of Hashrasha must take place, and somewhere down the line, the seed that he planted has to take root. But if the root was removed, if somebody uprooted it before it got a chance to take root, he's potur. No, he's chayef and zorea, even if it doesn't take root. And that's one issue. And the second issue would be, what happens in the case of Afia if the cooking takes place after Shabbos? He puts the dough in the oven. He puts the dough in the oven before the end of Shabbos. It doesn't bake until after Shabbos. So we have a twofold machlokes between the Rashash and the Minchas Chinuch. And the basic issue revolves around, is there an equation between Meleches Choresh and Meleches Zorea? The Rashash assumes an absolute equation, and therefore he comes to two conclusions. Conclusion number one is that, and again, each one teaches on the other. It's Zebal Lamed V'Nim Salamed. It means that Zorea is going to teach us about Afia, according to the Rashash, that the Afia could take place even after Shabbos, just like the Hashrasha takes place afterwards. And Afia is going to teach us something about Zorea, that just like in Afia, the Gemara establishes on Daf Dalet, in Masechta Shabbos, that if you take out the dough before it actually bakes, you're potur. So too, in the case of Zriya, argues the Rashash, by equation, if you take out the Zriya before it actually takes Hashrasha, then you're not chayev. The Minchas Chinuch, on the other hand, assumes a fundamental difference between Choresh and Zorea, and therefore he argues... Did I mention the Minchas Chinuch? I meant to say the Minchas
Chinuch.
Zorea and Afia. Zorea and Afia. So that in the Minchas Chinuch's frame of reference, these are two fundamentally different malachos. In the case of Afia, you chai for the Afia itself, the baking of the dough. So argues the Minchas Chinuch. In the case of Zorea, by contrast, you chai for just placing the seed in the ground. Whether it takes root or not is irrelevant. And in the flip side, although Zorea, the Hashrash, will take place days down the line, in the case of Afia, the Afia has to take place on Shabbos itself. So we have a twofold machlokas between between the Minchas Chinuch and the Rashash, and it all hinges on, do we equate Afia with Zriya, or do we not equate Afia with Zriya? So that's your pages numbers 1 and 2 over here. Now, again, there's a lot of stuff here. I was going to start the shiur with this. I think I made a decision to leave this for later on, depending on how much time we have, because I always seem to run out of time. That's my my issue in life. And then we move on to the next two pages. So again, we're not going to talk about this right now, because we have to see the sugya inside. But on what I would call page 3, which is Mo'ikotin Beis Amid Beis, there we're going to have a machlokes about two cases called Menakesh and Mashke Mayim Lizroim, which means he's either weeding or he's watering the plants. And the question is he chayev mishum choresh or mishum zorea? And that's going to be a machlokes Shin Rabba and Rav Yosef. So that's the next page that you have, call it page 3. And finally, page 4 will be, there'll be on the top left a pagination called Pei Gimel. So you'll call that page 4.
What is
okay,
that
that's this page here.
Okay.
Okay, and the pages keep growing and growing. I actually have page 5 for you, but I didn't get a chance to photocopy it, so I apologize for that. So that's just to give you an overview of what these pages are. And again, I would ask you as a personal favor, if you could file these pages somewhere that they don't get lost, because I don't know exactly when I'm going to get to it, and I'm certainly not going to cover all these 4 pages today, so you'll have it for the next time. What we want to talk about now, and this is our first agenda for today, is Ayin Gimel Amud Beis. You may recall that we got up to line 3. We did the first 3 lines so far in the sugya, and we established that the reason why the Mishnah tells us that there is a maximum number of chatos that you can be chayev on any given maximum shogeg, and a maximum shogeg would mean that he doesn't remember or he doesn't know any of the 39 melachos. That's why the Mishnah gives us the number 39. We mentioned that we have a little bit of an issue here. Rabbi Kivega spends a lot of time on this. How could it possibly be that he's chayev 39 different chatos? After all, he doesn't know anything about Shabbos. He's not aware of any of the 39 malachas. And the law is that if a person is not aware of Shabbos, and he violates every single malach in the book, all 39, he only brings what? One chatos. That's called Shigash Shabbos. So we must be talking about a case of mazid b'Shabbos. And how do you get a mazid b'Shabbos? And we mentioned that there's a machlokas here between Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish. This is back on Samach Tes Amud Beis. Whereas Rabbi Yochanan maintains that you can be amazed by Shabbos if you know about the lavim of Shabbos, but you're not aware of the fact that Shabbos incurs a chiyuv kares. So that makes you, on the one hand, amazed by Shabbos. You're fully aware of 39 different isurim on Shabbos. What you're unaware of is that the violation of these isurim incurs a chiyuv kares. That makes you a shogeg, because the machayev of karm chatos is kares. And if he's not aware of kares, he becomes a shogeg linyan chatos. He has to bring 39 chatos. Reish Lakish, on the other hand, argues that if he knows that these 39 malachos are asur on Shabbos, that makes him into a mezid, that he's no longer a shogeg, and therefore he doesn't have the option of bringing a karban chatos. So the Gemara therefore asks, so under what circumstance will Reish Lakish have a 39 chiyuv chatos, 39 chiyuvei chatos, mimarashach? If he is aware of the malachos, and therefore he's a mezid, even if he only thinks they're asur, he becomes amazed and there's no chatas at all. He's not a shogeg. And if, on the other hand, he's not aware of any of the 39 malachas, then he becomes a shogeg on Shabbos itself, which means he's only chayav one chatos and not 39. And here's where the Gemara introduces the sheet of Rabbi Akiva of Tchumen. The Rabbi Akiva holds that the Issa Tchumen is Doraisa, and we're talking about a person who's aware of the Issa Tchumen. So all he knows about Shabbos is that you're not allowed to walk more than, shall we say, 2,000 amah outside the city limits. And that itself is an awareness of Shabbos that takes him out of the category of shogeg b'Shabbos. And yet he's a shogeg on all of the 39 malachas. He's totally unaware of 39 malachas. The only thing he knows, if you test him at Hilchos Shabbos, he would not pass the Rabbanut exams for Shabbos. He only knows about the Issa Tchumen. That's it. And we raise the following question. Sam was here and he asked this question. Why not say that he knows about the mitzvah of Tishbos? The Torah says, "Bayom Hashvi Tishbos." Maybe he doesn't know anything about Molochus. He doesn't know anything about Tchumen, but he knows Tishbos, that there's a mitzvah to be shoveis on Shabbos. So I looked up in the Mefarshim, and Baruch Hashem, we had this idea ourselves. The Mefarshim say that Shabbos in Tishbos is not an essay, but what's called an Iser essay. And the Medayikin from the Rambam at the beginning of Hilchos Shabbos, and if Shabbos Tishbos is an Iser essay, then again he becomes amazed with Shabbos. Because although he's not aware of the Iser Malach as a Los Aser, but he's aware of the Malachos as an Iser Aser, which is called a Lav HaBomachal Aser. And a Lav HaBomachal Aser is enough to make him into a Mezid Linyan Shabbos. Then we raised another question. What if all he knows about Shabbos is the mitzvah of Kiddush, and he knows that on Shabbos you have to be Makayim in the midst of Oneg Shabbos and Kavod Shabbos. You have to dress a certain way and eat certain meals. He knows that after Shabbos you have to make Avdola. He doesn't know beans about the malachas. He doesn't know anything about the Yisr lav or the lav ha-mamachal essay of Tishvos. He doesn't even know anything about Tchumen. But what he does know is that there's a mitzvah of Kiddush. And the Rishonim say that the mitzvah of Kiddush is Doraisa, that not all the Rishonim agree to that, but the Rambam says that Zochas Yom HaShabbos L'Kadsho is a mitzvah Doraisa. Although you don't need Yayin, but you need at least Zechiras Dvarim. So maybe he knows that. If he's aware of that, he becomes a Yodea Shur Shabbos. He's no longer a Shogeg Linyan Shabbos. So that's a very strong question. We tried to suggest an answer that the Kiddush for him would be meaningless if he doesn't know anything about the Isur Malacha, because the Kiddush Sayom expresses itself in Isur Malacha. And finally, we have the Sugya of Choresh. Now, it's very interesting that in the Sidur de Pas, which is the first 11 malachas that culminate in baking of bread, and that's why, according to the Pnei Yoshua, why does the Mishnah choose Afiyah and not Bishul? Because in Bishul, you don't have the 11 stages, 11 malachas that culminate in Bishul, but in Afiyah you do. And the Mishnah mentions Zoreah. Now, technically, from a chronological perspective, the farm has to do what before Zoreah? He has to do Harisha. So why does the Mishnah start with Zoreah and only then to Harisha? Michti, Mirkav, Karbi, Beresha. And Mirkav Karbi is the way that in Aramaic we say Harisha. So the Harisha has to be done, Beresha meaning at the beginning, before Zoreah. Listeni, why not write Choresh? Vehadar listening, and then afterwards mention Zoreah. And the Gemara's answer is going to be that there's a Chiddush Lahalacha based on and derived from the Seder. That's an Ipcha Mestabra, it's an unusual Seder. And Zoreah came first. So imagine, we're talking about a person who is now being Choresh after Zoreah. Now, let's just get the basics down. Harisha is to soften, the purpose of Harisha is to soften the karka, that's called Yipui karka, to prepare for Zoreah. Just like, for example, we're going to have later on Soser, which means you break down a house or a structure in order to replace it with a new structure. Bona, we're going to have Mochek, which is a preparation for Ksiva. Harisha is a preparation for Zoreah. So what does this mean that he started with Zoreah and he followed up with Harisha? So the Gemara says, Tana v'Eretz Yisrael koi, Dizare Beresha Vahadar Karbi. In Eretz Yisrael, they do Harisha after Zoreah. Rashi explains, the Eretz Yisrael Koshehi. The land is arid, it's dry. I guess he's thinking of the Negev maybe, before the Chalutzim came. And therefore, Eino Yochel Lechasos, he cannot cover up the Zera below Harisha. In other words, according to Rashi, in Eretz Yisrael, in order to cover the Zera after you put it into the ground, you need Harisha. The Harisha turns over the ground and covers the Zera. Now this is interesting, because when you say Tana be'Eretz Yisrael Koi, then it means that you're telling me a big Chiddush Lahalacha in Eretz Yisrael, or maybe any other country that has this property of kasha, that the karka itself is very hard, you're going to have a Chiddush Lahalacha that you chayav for Harisha after Zoreah. Now, in my shiurim on Meleches Bona, which I don't know if anyone here... Okay, but I'll just mention very something quickly. What we tried to derive from something called Binyan Koldehu is that it's not enough to create a new Melacha without finding it in the Mishkan. Now, I don't know if Harisha after Zoreah is the old Melacha of Harisha or it's a new Melacha of Harisha. In other words, if I see Harisha Liachar Zoreah as an Av, and there are two of us in Harisha, and we have examples of two of us, not just this one. We have an Av of Harisha, which is before Zoreah, the purpose of which is to prepare for Zoreah. We have another Av of Harisha, which is after Zoreah, and the purpose of that is not to soften the ground, but to cover up the Zera. Mm-hmm. Then what would the Gemara be asking at this point, which the Gemara doesn't ask? Where was it in the Mishkan? Where do we find Harisha after Zriya in the Mishkan? If you want to postulate that there is such a malacha called Harisha Liakar Zriya, which is a radically, fundamentally different kind of Harisha, whose purpose is totally different than Harisha before Zriya, in other words, your object is not the karka per se, but the zera, then you should justify that or be forced to by telling me about the Mishkan. But here, Rav Osa, we get back to a question I raised with you last week. And that is, what exactly went on in the Mishkan? For preparation of the Mishkan, what did they do? And there's a tremendous machlokas here about what went on. I'll just summarize two groups of two approaches. One approach says that they didn't do any of these malachas at the time of the Mishkan, because they were stuck in the Midbar, and the Midbar was arid and couldn't produce, they didn't plant, and they didn't harvest, and they didn't... Where did they get the Savamonim from? Because back in Mitzrayim, Yaakov Avinu already warned them that you have to prepare for the Mishkan. You're about to go into the desert, you won't have what you need to build the Mishkan. Take with you all the supplies that you need in order to build the Mishkan. Another group, another approach, is that no, there was some miraculous process that even, or maybe according to Nishmas Adar, maybe around Har Sinai before they got to the Midbar God, or whatever it was, but in preparation for the building of the Mishkan, they actually went through all these malachas, culminating in Bishul for the Samamonim. So they planted, and they sowed the ground, and they produced Samamonim, and they took the Samamonim, and they put it into a Yorah, into a pot, and they cooked it, and they extracted the dye. All this took place in the Mishkan. Oh, so who wins this debate? I mean, obviously, I'm not here to paskin on this. A tremendous machlokas between all the gedolim, you know, as to whether or not the sidur of the pas took place back in the time of the Mishkan. So we're not here to chashovi, you know, lahachnis is rosh ben aharim. But if I had to, based on this gemara, I would paskin. Which way would I paskin? Which way would I tip the scale? Did it happen in the Mishkan or did it not happen in the Mishkan? It had to have happened in the Mishkan. Because if not, Rabbi, I would claim that you cannot justify a Meleches Harisha after Zriya. Now you'll ask me the question, well, where did they need a Harisha after Zriya? That's only where?
In Eretz
Israel. No, they needed it in the Midbar as well. Why? Because the Midbar is arid land.
But it didn't say arid in Rashi, it said kasha.
Kasha, I don't know, leave out the word arid, I don't know, my English is not up to par.
Makes the ground.
One word, let's get, can we, you feel you're an expert, this. Do me a favor, Google the word, what word are you going to Google? Google the word arid. And see if he gives you other synonyms that'll make Yehuda happy camping. All I meant by the word Arab, we used to play as children pig Latin. You know, you make up a sound. So I'm going to make up a sound, and I'm going to give, for our purposes, I'll tell you what that sound means. Okay, so the sound is arid, and it means for our purposes, yeah, until we get to Merriam-Webster's dictionary, it means land that's very hard, it's very tight. Okay. It's so tough that unless you do a harisha, the zera is not going to be niklat, because to be niklat, for klitas azera, I need to cover the zera with ground. In the Midbar, no doubt, they had to do a harisha after Zriya. And that's exactly how they produced the Samamonim. By planting the seeds for the Samamonim, and then afterwards, doing what? Harisha l'chassel s'sazera. Is therefore, I would submit to you, that even in the Midbar, that's what they did. Now, if you go back to Mitzrayim, according to that sheet, that already at Yaakov Avinu's time, Mehechatesi, the Mitzrayim, which you remember the Psukim, I think we'll have it, not this Shabbos, but next Shabbos, the Psukim describe, you know, that there it's referring to stone, but... it's a beautiful, you know, the greenery of Mitzrayim, you know, and so forth and so on. I don't know that in Mitzrayim they had to do Harisha after Zriya. I don't know.
But Yaakov brought it from Eretz Yisrael. They didn't do that to Chavish after Zriya. He brought that to Shittim from Eretz Yisrael. Some stomach when he planted them the first time.
I don't know. In the case of Shittim, you might be right, but not in the case of Samamonim. Right. I don't know that Samamonim could last, you know, for centuries, you know, until they left to left Mitzrayim. I mean, keep in mind, they were in Mitzrayim for two centuries plus. So I don't know what the shelf life of some amanim is, but most likely Yaakov was just instructing them to take the Yatzei Shittim, that might have a different status.
They're making an assumption. The word Midbar means a desert. And according to the Chachamim, it didn't mean a desert. It meant the wilderness. And there was a lot of gidul, a lot of vegetation and growth throughout the Midbar.
So Rabbi, I'm going to show you later, I just don't want to do it now, a whole bunch of Achronim who say that it was impossible to plant in the Midbar. It just didn't go. And therefore the Medrash says that Yaakov Avinu already told them back, you know, they're going down to Mitzrayim to take. So again, wilderness and desert and this, you know, in Bnei Akiva they have these summer programs. You know, there's deserts programs, there's wilderness programs. I don't know, I'm not up to it. I don't know all the bakiyas and the difference between the two. But I can show you in Rishonim that it would have taken an absolute miracle to grow things in the desert. And all that they had was what they brought with them down to Mitzrayim. Okay, let's go on, Rav Osei, because I have a much more fundamental issue to discuss with you today. I'm going to ask my question in a very naive kind of way. In other words, I'm going to give it to you what I call balabatish, you know, really coarse, not refined. I don't understand how you can tell me that the Mishnah is talking about Harisha after Zriya. Harisha after Zriya is not a Moleches Harisha, but rather Moleches Zriya. I don't understand what the Gemara is batting about. Anything that you do to improve the Zera and make sure that the Zera is capable of producing is called Zoreya. It might be an Av, it might be in some cases a Tolda. We'll see the Mashkez Roim is a Tolda. What's the difference between Mashkez Roim and Harisha Liachar Zriya? Rashi says that the purpose of the Harisha Liachar Zriya is Lachasos. And Rashi says, V'eino Yachal, he doesn't have the ability Lachasos unless he does Harisha. You know, he takes his plow, and with a great deal of effort, maybe according to some Rishonim, you know, the Rambam rejects this, but according to some Rishonim, if you use the animal to do Harisha, that's also called Moleches Harisha. But be that as it may, without getting into that machlokes, because there's a major effort involved here, and Rashi says without that effort, Yefshel Lechasel Ses Hazera. So that if this Melacha is being implemented for the purpose of Lechasel Ses Hazera, that's going to be Moleches Zoreya. That's not going to be Moleches Choresh. We're trying to justify the word Harisha in the Mishnah. And it comes out like this, Rabbi Osei. Halacha L'maisa, which I don't understand why this is so, and that's why we want to rack our brains and try to figure it out. Halacha L'maisa, the Gemara says, that in Eretz Yisrael, or the like, I assume, if I give you a Hasra on a Harisha Li'achar Zoreya, what's going to be the Hasra? Let's assume every Av needs its own Hasra B'Shema Av. Again, a Tolda is a question, whether you could have a Hasra B'Shema Tolda, or maybe you have to mention the Av. I don't want to get into that machlokas. But everybody agrees that the Hasra B'Shema Av is the valid Hasra. What Hasra am I going to give this guy when he's plowing after Zriya? Halach L'maisa.
Harisha.
Al Tachrosh. Harisha is prohibited on Shabbos. And I don't get it. Why is that called Harisha? So Rav Osei, I came up with the following thesis. And again, it's take it or leave it here. You know, as I always say, you know, there's no kfiyah datit. I want to suggest the following. That there's the immediate benefit of the Malacha and there's the long-term benefit of the Malacha. The immediate benefit of the Malacha of Harisha Liachar Zriya is for the Zera. But the long-term benefit of Harisha Liachar Zriya is for the karka itself. What do I mean? He's not digging up, you know, a 2x2 plot of land, you know, clump of earth to cover one single zera. He's doing Harisha. And the Harisha has an impact on the karka. Not just for the zera that I put in now, but for the zera that I'll put in tomorrow, or the day after tomorrow. In other words, the fundamental difference between Moleches Zoreya and Moleches Choresh, in abstract terms, is that the object on which the victim of Moleches Choresh is the karka, the victim of Moleches Zriya is the zera. What happens in the following scenario? Supposing I implement a melacha that has a twofold function. On the one hand, it benefits the zera, but on the other hand, it benefits the karak as well. So I thought that maybe in such a case, we could raise the following question. Can I be chayav two melachos for one pa'ula? The Gemara is not telling me that he's chayav for this harisha only b'toras choresh. That makes no sense whatsoever. And I'm going to insist that he's chayav for zoreah, and that's upgrade. There's no question that he's chayav for melech zoreah because he's being machas of the zera. The chiddush of the Gemara is that lo mi boy that he's chayav for melech zoreah, but he's also going to be chayav at the same time for melech choresh. But that all assumes a gigantic chiddush, a gigantic premise, namely that for one pa'ula you can be chayav for two melechas. Is there such a thing? Can it be? For that we might have to learn a sugya mo'i katan, but I don't know. But before we get to the sugya mo'i katan, where the Gemara is going to say, according to Rav Kahana, that for Zomer, you chayev both for Meleches Notea and for Meleches Kotzer, because on the one hand, you're improving the tree by pruning it. On the other hand, the tree, the branches that you remove are meaningful for you, and that's called Ktsira, when you take out something from the ground and you use it. So maybe there is such a thing. But that's Rav Kahana. I'm not sure that Rav Yosef and Rav agree with Rav Kahana. They disagree. They say that. Then in the case of Zomer, you chay for one of two malachas, not both. I don't know. And then we have a long discussion about Meleches Bone and Makabe Patish, which again, that's for my Tuesday, Thursday shiur, and whether or not the last thing that you do in Binyan would also be Binyan and Makabe Patish at the same time. I don't know.
One action
with two malachas. Obviously, you can't kill him twice. But what you can do if he's a shogeg is you can make him bring not one chatos, but two chatos. Is it possible, therefore, that what the Gemara wants to be mechadish in our Mishnah, and the Mishnah wants to be mechadish according to the sugya, is that in this case of Harisha post Zriya, he'll be chayv both for the improvement on the Zera, if you will, and the improvement on the Karka. But the chiddush is that he's chayv for the improvement on the Karka. Now here, there are two words that always go together, like horse and buggy, that came up on my mind. You know, you know, sometimes in computers, you know, you write a word on the screen and another word shows up, you know, like by sheer association. Ikar and Tofa. Now, Rabosa, I don't expect you to start dreaming now about brachas. You know, if you eat a cracker with some jam on it, you know, do you make the bracha on the cracker or on the jam? You know what I'm saying? Iker and Tafel. That's not what I have in mind. You know, the words Iker and Tafel apply and appear throughout Shas. In Masechta Shabbos, there's one famous, famous sugya of Iker and Tafel in Meleches Hotzah, and that's where you carry less than a grogeres inside a kli. So the utensil, the receptacle, is tafel, because you're not interested in transporting the kli, you're interested in transporting the contents of the kli. But the problem is that you can't be chayef ha-hutzah on the ikar, the contents, because it's less than a grogeres. On the other hand, the kli is kishir. So the Gemara says that the kli is batel to the half a grogeres inside. It doesn't mean bittel like in Yoredeya. You know that not that bittel. You know that's for our shirim in Yoredeya. But there is such a concept even in the Lecha Shabbos of Iker Betofen. But is it possible to say that if you grant me premise number one, which is very iffy, that you could be chayav for two melachos with one pa'ula? Then grant me perhaps, again, each one of these premises is very iffy. Premise number two, that it all depends upon Iker and Tofel. And maybe what the Gemara is saying is that in the law, in the short term, you're right, he gets a benefit for the Zera. But that's not his Iker Malacha. The Iker Malacha here is in the Karka. And that's why he's going to be chayav from Meleches Choresh. So I'm throwing out the following two possibilities. Possibility number one, And the halacha l'maisa, we have to check this out and see what's the deal. Halacha l'maisa. Possibility number one is that he's chai for both Zoreah and Choresh. Possibility number two is he's chai for Choresh and not Zoreah. Now, if my premise is correct that he's doing a Zoreah here because he's improving the Zera, how is it possible that he can be chayav for Choresh and not Zoreah?
Well,
exactly. That maybe we can introduce these concepts called Ikar and Tofel. So in the first pshat that I'm saying he's chayav for both Zoreah and Choresh, it's impossible that he's not chayav for Zoreah because that's what he's doing. He's putting ground on top of the Zera. That's his Charisha. That's the nature of his Charisha. He's certainly chayav for Zoreah. The Chiddush of our Mishnah then is that he's chayav not only for Zoreah but even for Choresh. In my second pshat, I'm offering a radical possibility that even though he's certainly involved in Zoreah, no question about it, he's not going to be chayav for Zoreah. He's going to be chayav for Choresh. But then I have to assume that his Ikar Tachlis, the main purpose of his Malacha, is Choresh and not Zoreah. Meaning the impact on the Karka itself is superior to that of, is primary vis-a-vis the impact on the Zera. The impact on the Zera is secondary. Again, it might have been the original motivation, but he went way beyond that he did a serious Charish. And again, all this would cash into Nafkaminas about exactly how he did the Charisha. If he did the Charisha in a very limited way, in which he made no impact on the Karka, and he just was Machas in the Zera, then I would argue, again you can disagree with me, that he would not be Chayv for Choresh in that case. He would only be Chayv exclusively for Zoreah. But if you'll grant me that he's Chayv for Choresh because he made an impact on the Karka, then I could declare the following Chakira. Is he Chayv for Choresh and Zoreah, or only exclusively for Choresh because now Zoreah is swallowed up in Charisha? And I began to think, again, I'm these just musings of a madman here, I'm just thinking out loud, what did they do in Eretz Yisrael? So tell me what they did according to the simple Pshat of Gemara, without Chidush. What was the first stage, Ramosa? What does it say in the Gemara?
Charisha.
No, I'm asking you to read the Gemara. I'm not asking you to be a farmer now. Forget about farming. You never went to agricultural school. You know beans about farming. Pardon the pun, right? But just from the Gemara's perspective, what did they do in Eretz Yisrael? What does it seem like they did? Look at Rashi. Rashi says, when did they do the Charisha? After the Zriya. So comes along YS, my good buddy, and he says, nah. They did Charisha even in Eretz Yisrael before the Zriya. But then you're going to have to admit to me that what? Then in addition, no, help me out over here, Ramosa. In addition to the Charisha before the Zriya, they did a second Charisha after the Zriya. I don't know. And again, all this is just pure speculation here. Again, my question to you is the following. What happened in Eretz Yisrael? Okay, the rabbi has a proof one way or the other, but I'm just I want you to hear the question in abstract. What happened in Eretz Yisrael? What was the Seder Advarim? You know, the Sidur Depas over here. Is it A or B? A claims that they started with Zriya. The Zriya is not going to do it. At this point, the Zera is kind of like floating on the surface. It's not going to take. It's not going to take hold.
Then it's not Zriya.
Okay, so then he's not chayav for Zoreah. That's what you say. And now we're talking about a case where he's chayav. Okay. Number two, then he does Charisha, and he does Charisha in such a way that now the Zera will take. Possibility number two is that maybe they did Charisha first, then they did Zriya, and then they followed up with a second Charisha. Just two logical possibilities of what I call taich. I don't know how to taich up the Gemara. I simply don't know. Again, the second approach, although the rabbi doesn't like the second, you like the first approach, second approach, I find the second approach a little bit difficult, personally, because it just seems to me that, you know, if the first Charisha did the job, why did you need a second Charisha? So I don't know the technique. But again, you know, you could say the Harisha began the process, but you still needed a second Harisha. You had to sandwich the Zriya with two Harisha. So yeah, go ahead.
Zriya that is not.
Yeah. I hope I'll be able to remember what I wanted to say.
It's not Zriya. If you put Zriya, if I take seeds and I put them on the table, it's not Zoraya. It has to be in Ro'oi to be
Niklat.
Niklat.
So what I'm suggesting
so that's
is
number two.
What I'm suggesting is that if he started with Zriya and then he did Harisha, he's going to be chay for both Zriya and Harisha. Why is he chay for both Zriya and Harisha? Because the Harisha liachar Zriya made the Zriya meaningful. Embellished or I will call
enhanced.
It a siyua.
Enhanced.
So enhanced the Zriya. I made it feasible.
It's l'mafreya.
And it's l'mafreya.
But is l'mafreya require covering of dirt?
I don't know. It could be that if you uncover the ground through Harisha, then you put in the Zera, you're chayv ready for Zriya. Again, that might depend upon the machlokas between the Rashash and the Minchas Chinuch. Because, you know, the question is enough that you put it in a place that could come to Smicha, or that you actually have to follow it up? You see, the only thing is, Yechiel, if you're going to say that he actually has to follow it up by covering the Zera, then you get into issues about Hasra Safek, if you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Okay. So, Abbas, I thought, let's see if I can remember my trend of thought. And then you'll tell me if you could agree with this. I wanted to suggest the following. One second, I wrote myself a note. Let me just see if I just don't want to mess up. Here's the note that I wrote myself. If you apply the logic of Ikar and Tofel, and the reason why he's chayev for the Harisha Liachar Zriya in Eretz Yisrael is because that Harisha the Iker Tachlis of that Harisha is in the Karka, the benefit of the Karka. Then I would suggest the following. That the system in Eretz Yisrael began with what? With Zriya. There was no Harisha before Zriya. Why? Because if he was Chorish before the Zriya, then how would the Harisha after the Zriya engender a chiyuv chorish? Clearly, the harisha liachar zriya is functioning in its primary mode to be on behalf of the zriya. So we want to be mechadish that his primary interest. Again, when I say his interest, I don't mean we're doing a psychological study of Yankel Beryl. I couldn't care less what Yankel Beryl has in mind. I'm talking about in objective terms. What's inherent in the Meleches Harisha Liachar Zriya? I started with a kasha. I didn't understand. How can you say the Harisha Liachar Zriya Rashi identifies Lechasos as Hazera is Meleches Chorish? That doesn't make a bit of sense. So I suggested that maybe Rashi means to say that in addition to Zriya, he has an impact on the Karka. But I would find that very odd if I assumed that there was a Harisha before the Zriya. Because if there was a Harisha before the Zriya, then clearly what was the purpose of the Harisha Liachar Zriya? It was for the Zera. Again, before you slug me up, I know everyone's always more brilliant than I am, which is fine. I mean, that's great. But just, you know, give me a hearing. That's all I'm asking for. You know, I want you to try to deher what I'm suggesting. It's my own chiddush. I wanted to suggest that this issue, which is first of all, a Metzias issue. Again, it has halachic implications, but what's the Metzias of Eretz Yisrael? How did they do it? I simply don't know what the Gemara and the Mishnah is talking about. Did they do a Harisha and then a Zriya and then a Harisha, or did they do a Zriya and then a Harisha? So I'm suggesting that that question might hinge on the other question. Namely, how do we understand Meleches Choresh? If Meleches Choresh is Chayav because of Harisha in and of itself, forget about Iker and Tafel, then you could say there was Harisha, there was Ria, and then there was Harisha. But if you're going to say that you're chayav for Meleches Choresh in Ambition in Eretz Yisrael because of an Iker and a Tafel situation, then that Iker and Tafel situation where I shift the focus, the primary focus of the Harisha Liach and Ria from Zorea to Choresh, that makes sense. If I grant you, right? If I grant you that there was no Harisha before Zriya, because again, if there was Harisha before Zriya, then why is he doing a second Harisha? Again, you can answer that many different ways, but I'm just saying ostensibly, Ein Choresh Achar Choresh. I don't mean that in a halachic sense, but why do a second Harisha? The answer is that the second Harisha has a definite purpose. And what's the purpose of the second Harisha? As opposed to the first one? The first one was to prepare the karka. The second one was to cover the zera. So why does that? Why does Harisha become Ikar? And therefore, I want to suggest that if you're going to argue that he's doing one Harisha, and then there are two purposes and two accomplishments to that Harisha, then you could start analyzing, well, what's the Iker, what's the Tafel? And one could say that the long-term benefit to the karka outshines the small, minute benefit to the Zera right now. You know, the Zera is good for the Zera, but it doesn't help the karka. So you'll get a couple of summer money growing here and there. But if, on the other hand, if you'll take a different approach, that it has nothing to do with Iker and Tafel, but simply that you could be chayev two chatos and violate two malachas with one pu'ula, because with one pu'ula you can have many different accomplishments. Not the way I wanted to say it with Iker and Tafel. Then it could very well be that there was a Harisha first, there was a Zriya second, and there was another Harisha. Correct? And then you could say the following, that Eino Chinami, the second Harisha for sure is going to be Chayav for Zoreya, but at the same time, he's Chayav Mishum Choresh. And drop the whole discussion about Iker and Tafel. So again, what I'm saying is, this is what comes out of my discussion. If he was Choresh after Zriya, in our Mishnah in Eretz Yisrael, is he going to be Chayav for Zoreya, or is he not going to be Chayav for Zoreya? And I think the answer to that question hinges upon the question as to whether or not there was a Harisha before Zriya. And here's where it goes. If I assume that in our Mishnah, he's Chayav Shtayim, he can be Chayav for both Choresh, and again, I'm talking about Choresh Liach Zriya, and Zoreya. No, if he can be Chayav Shtayim, then it doesn't bother me one iota if there was a Harisha before Zriya. Because even so, the Harisha Liachar Zriya accomplishes two things. But if, on the other hand, I refuse to accept the possibility that you could be Chayav, that one Pu'ula could generate two Malachos, and therefore in our Mishnah ipso facto he's Chayav for Choresh and not for Zoreya, then I want to assume that there was no Harisha before Zriya. Because if there was Harisha before Zriya, then I can't begin to understand why he would be Chayav for Choresh. Because again, if in the second possibility, he can only be Chayav for one Malacha. And if he's Chayav for one Malacha, you have to ask yourself, what's the Iker and the Tafel? Well, it's very hard for me to accept that in the Harisha Liachar Zriya, which is a double over of the Harisha before Zriya, that the Iker is going to be Harisha. Adarabba, the Iker Harisha was the first Harisha. The second Harisha clearly was focused and directed towards the Zriya. So if you have an either or and you can't be Chayav for two Malachas, which Malach can you be Chayav for? Clearly for Zriya. But if, on the other hand, I maintain that one Pu'ula could generate two different Malachas, And it doesn't bother me, what's the Iker, what's the Tafel? Then I can grant you that there was a Harisha before the Zriya, and a second Harisha Liacha Zriya, and in the second Harisha, he's Chayef for both Choresh and Zoreya. You'll tell me, but his Iker Tachlis is clearly the Zera. I don't know. Maybe not. Maybe the same, maybe they're both equal, or maybe you could be high for both as long as I can prove to you that he gets a benefit. He doesn't object to any benefit in the karka.
If you chayiv both, what do you need the first chayisha for? You chayiv both with the second chayisha. The first chayisha will only make you chayiv twice.
No. I'm not Yechiel. I'm not addressing your question. Your question is very relevant. Why did he do a chayisha before Zriya? That's a question I'd have to ask the farmers. That's an agricultural question which I'm not entering into. My premise is I don't know what exactly went on in Eretz Yisrael. You know, Medaf Fregen, the farmers. If you've ever read a tshuva in Rav Moshe Feinstein, and you get to a word that starts with a pei, ends with a samach, and it's got like 15 letters in it, the word is farmers. I remember I was reading his tshuva on Cholav Akum, and I couldn't believe it. You know, I wanted to call up Rav Moshe and tell him there is a word in Hebrew for a farmer. But okay, farmers. That's what he meant. So I'm saying, I don't know what the farmers actually did in Eretz Yisrael, but I'm just saying that I can guess what the answer to this question is based on a halachic consideration, meaning I know one thing I know, and that's unquestionable, undeniable, that for the Harish Aliachar Zriya, he's chayav for Malachis Choresh. That's undeniable. No one could question that premise. That's the only premise in the sugya that you have to grant me, without a question. What I don't know is, will he be chayav for Zoreya as well? Yesh Lachkar. Will he be chayav shtayim? And that really depends upon a universal chakira in Hilchas Shabbos, which has to be studied, and I'm hoping that Gemara and Moed Katan will help us on this. Can you be chayav two chatos and violate two malachas with one pe'ula if it accomplishes two goals? So now I say the following. In the case of Harisha Liachar Zriya, if I'm going to grant you that you can only be chayav one, you can only be chayav for one malacha, then that malacha has to be the Iker Tachlis. It has to be the Iker Tachlis. If he did a Harisha, and then he did a Zriya, and then he did another Harisha, what did he gain by the second Harisha? And Rashi gives you the answer to that question. What he gained by the second Harisha is the Chasos Hazera. Is Bemeli Bichayef and Zoreya. So this is suicidal. The only way I can approach our Mishnah, again, after I get the okay from the farmers, that in Eretz Yisrael they started with Harisha, and they ended with Harisha, is if I assume that one Pa'ula could generate two Chiyuvi Chatos. If that be the case, then I can say the following. That Enochinami, his Iker Tachlis in the second Harisha, clearly is Litzorech Hazera. So you state Rashi, but he's Chayav for Choresh, even though, despite the fact that his Iker Tachlis is Zoreya, because he also benefits the Karak. And if he benefits the Karak, he can be Chayav Shtayim. But if I'm going to say that no, you can't be Chayav Shtayim, then I have to enter into the Iker and Tafel situation, then I would have to assume that there was no Harisha before Zriya. Because if there was Harisha before Zriya, then I have no doubt that the Harisha Liach Zriya is primarily focused on what? On the Zera. So how can he be chayav for Malachas Choresh?
I mean, it's for the first one.
But he is the first
one. No, the Mishnah wants to be chadish that he's chayav for the second Harisha. Again, that he's chayav for the first Harisha, I don't need the Mishnah for that. If he was only chayav for the first Harisha, then what would the Mishnah have said? Choresh is already. Why did the Mishnah switch the order Zoreya for Choresh? Because the Mishnah wanted to tell you that he's Chayav for Choresh Liachar Zriya. So what I'm suggesting is, it makes sense to say that he's Chayav for Choresh Liachar Zriya on the one of two premises. There's no third possibility. Again, you'll argue with me, but just I want you to hear me out. The two possibilities are the following. Either I want to say that even though clearly his main tachlis is what? Is the Zera Lechasos Zera, which would make him Chayef Zoreya. You could be Chayef for two. You could be Chayef two Chatos for one Pu'u. That's one way of understanding the Gemara. That really, as far as the Karka is concerned, he did fine with the first Harisha. He has to improve the Karka only a little bit after the Zriya. But fundamentally, primarily, what he needs to do is to certify or fortify the Zriya. you can be chayiv shtayim. A man can accomplish many things with one pa'ula. You'll ask him to prioritize, fine, but he's chayiv for all of them, or name. There is no such thing. There's clearly a priority, a system, what's the ikar, what's the tefillah. We have to do a study of human beings, human nature, and figure out why they're involved in such a thing. And in that case, you can only be chayiv for one. Then I ask myself the question, you're chayiv for one? So why do you choose Harisha? Why is it chayiv for the Chori? He's being machas in the Zerem, he's chayiv for Harisha, not for Zriya? Why is that the primary malacha? I could only justify that if he started with Zriya, and now the karak itself is screaming out loud, Ribbono shel Olam, you did a Zriya, and tomorrow you're going to do another Zriya, and in a week or Thursday. You better do Yipui Karka. This is very arid land. Again, using that pig Latin, whatever the word arid means, right? So we need to do Harisha. But if he already did the Harisha first, then clearly his purpose in the second Harisha is Lachasos Sazer. That's what I'm suggesting. Again,
and it's really,
you know, I just want you to have fun with it. You know what I'm
and
saying?
And it's really Yipui Karka without doing that Harisha.
I don't know. That's a different question.
Otherwise, the Mishnah has to take Zariah out. It's no, it's Zariah. If I don't do it beforehand, I'm only chayiv for one afterwards, and that's Chalisha, then I'm never chayiv.
Wait, let's go through it again, Yechiel. What are we talking about? Give me the facts on the ground.
In the second scenario, you said that I'm not chayiv two acts, two.
Right. I can only be chayiv one. And that's the Ika.
Right. And there's no Chalisha beforehand.
Right.
So I did Zariah, and the ground's screaming, you have to do Chalisha. And I only chayiv one, I'm chayiv for Chalisha, because the ground needs Chalisha.
Right.
So when am I ever chayiv for Zariah?
Well, no, in this scenario, in Eretz Yisrael, there are two possibilities. Either you're chayiv for Zriya because there's a possibility of doing Harisha afterwards, and that means that you put the Zera, this would actually reflect the Shita of the Minchas Chinuch, right? That the Minchas Chinuch says, you just have to put the Zera down, that's all, you don't have to worry about the Zera. The second possibility is that it works L'mafreya. That only, something has to be researched, but you'd only be chayiv for the Zriya after the Harisha.
Okay.
Why? Because that Zriya is not going to take you very far.
And that's not called two melachas with one pool. Because I
right, okay. Right. That's just a tanah. You know, that's right. Just to, okay. You know. Okay, Rabbo. So that's hakofal. Now I'd like to learn with you a sugyan moed cut. And I think you have that on page 3 of this little kind of booklet that I gave you. Okay, is there any way of getting a little more air in here, or it's just
air?
Me? That,
yeah.
Okay, thank you so much. Itmar. Okay. Do we have the possibility of writing on this thing? Yeah. Okay, great. Okay. So I'm going to, just for my own help, I'm just going to write out the sheet this year so that we don't... Okay. So we're talking about Menakesh and what? And Mashke Mai. Again, Mashke Mai is wrong, but Mashke Mai. Mashke Mai. Okay? So who do we start with? Let's start with Rabba. Does Rabba appear first?
Yeah.
Yeah? Let's double check. Itmar Rabba Machorish. Okay? Okay, that's Rabba. And Rav Yosef comes second. And he says, Yechayv Mishum Zoreh. Okay then? Then, later on, again, we're going to get to this later on, Rav Kahana is going to try to prove that he's chayv for both. He's chayv for both. Okay. So again, Itmar, Amenakesh, Ramashke, Mayim, Uzroim, Bishabs, Mishum, Mayim, Masrim, Bey. Mishum, my master. But Tosa says, "Tiein adam loke v'lo nerag ela bahasra." Okay, she masrimbo lo sasa hach isura. So I'm both saying, if I would stop here and ask you the following question, you should be able to answer this question: how many isurim are there in Shabbos? You don't see my point?
39.
It has to be 39 because look, Tosis is explaining why? What was the Gemara saying? Mishum my master? They just tell him, don't be mechal Shabbos. You nincompoop. You know, you're being mechal Shabbos. You're desecrating the Shabbos. That's not enough masra. The premise of Tosus is that in the barest minimum, you have to mention the Av, and that's going to be the machlokes between Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef in these two cases. Is the Av Choresh or is the Av Zoreh? And Tosus says, Lo nerag el basra shem masrim bo lo saseh. Doesn't say lo sas kol malacha. It says lo sas hach isura. What's another word for hach isura? One word with two letters, hach isura. The Av. You with me?
Right.
And this is against the Minchas Chinuch. I don't know how the Minchas Chinuch is going to learn this. Minchas Chinuch says that you can give a person asura. Don't be mechal Shabbos.
Klali,
because that's the isur. Go look in the Torah. Does it say anywhere in the Torah that I can't be chorish on Shabbos? Okay, Shvius is something else. Okay, fine. Let's go on. So Rabba says, Mishum chorish. Rav Yosef Omar, Mishum zoreh. Okay. Now, Rabosai, what I would like to do with you, with your reshus, and even without your issues, is I want to extract a hezber for this machlokas between Rava and Rav Yosef based on Tosus Diri Amaskil Ka, which if you count down is 1, 2, 3, is the fourth Tosus on the page. But I am going to give you the hezber without learning the Tosus. And then I'm going to try to see if my hezber, if I can weave it into the Tosus. So again, I'm doing it the opposite way that we should do it, but this is the way I see it. I want to suggest the following: that what's common to both Menakesh and Mashkez Roim is that these are pu'ulos that are done in the karka. Okay, let me just write this down. Okay. Asterisk, because I'm referring to both of them. Nasos bakarka. Okay. What does that give you then? Okay, alright, you'll think about that as we go along. Okay. Then I want to suggest that there's something called a dimyon, the Ofen Asiyas Hamas. In other words, if I talk about the relationship between an Av and a Tolda, correct? So my goal now is to figure out what is the Av of these two Pa'ulos. So the way I'm going to do it is I'm going to look at the way the Pa'ula is done. Okay? And I'm going to try to see if the Av gives me a certain Ofen HaPa'ula, Ofen HaSiya, and the Tolda has that similarity in the Ofen HaPa'ula. I'll give you an example of the opposite. You know, just so you'll know, you know, from Mitoch Lava to Shemei Hain. Like, for example, the Gemara is going to offer the possibility that Zomer, what's it called, pruning, right, that pruning is a tolda of Meleches Zorea. To be more technical, it's called Notea, but Zorea and Notea are one Av. They're, you know, Me'ein Av. Now, in the Tzuras HaPa'ula, and for those who were with me in the Elzman, you may remember that we discussed this when we talked about Rav Menachem Zemba. In the Tzuras HaPa'ula, is there a dimyon between Notea and Zomer? I need a, you know, either a yes or a no, but robust. You know, we should all be yelling out together. No, absolutely not. This is what we call in Yiddish, Pumfarket. It's the exact opposite. Because in Notea and all the tolus of Notea, I'm putting something into the ground. In Zomer, I'm cutting something out of the ground. That was Rabbi Nachum Zemba's breakthrough. And therefore, he came to the conclusion, very radical, that that according to, I forget which of the Rishonim, I forget now, it slipped my mind, that Zomer could not possibly be an av malach of notea. Maybe it could be a told of notea, but even that has to be worked out. But if on the other hand I go back to my first definition and I ask myself, well, what is notea? The purpose of notea is growth. The purpose of zomer, pruning, is growth. Again, I'm not a farmer. You don't have to ask for Moshe Feinstein. But the farmers will tell you that by pruning a tree, the tree will you know, if you take off the branches that are sucking up the moisture from the tree, right, depleting the tree, then you will improve the growth. So that's going to be the issue here. So I want to suggest the following. Let's start with Rabbah. Rabbah says that let's look at the Menakesh and the Mashke Mayim, right? So when you want to improve the karka, correct? So then you do a pool on what? On the karka, correct? And therefore, Rabbah postulates, again, I'm going to try to sharpen it up as we go along. So right now I'm saying it again, you know, a little bit gas, you know, a little bit, how should you say, in a coarse way. Rav Yosef, on the other hand, is not interested in the ofen hamaisa, right? Meaning he's not working on the karka now. But Rav Yosef is interested in the hagdara, in the totsa'ah. Okay, so basically, according to Rav Yosef, we have a tolda of zorea because you're being mashkes roim. Or let's say, for example, you have a zera that's in the ground, but it's being strangled by some weeds that are not, in today's generation, you can't use the word weeds, you know, it has all sorts of different associations. Okay, if you don't know what I'm talking about, that's good. But I was a Rosh Yeshiva for 18-year-olds for many years. Okay, fine, I won't go into that. Now they're legalizing it in Canada, so I don't know, it's going to be... Yeah. in YU Torah in Canada, you know, there's a YU colon. So they're organizing full... what do they call it? Yomi Yuns, you know, how we're going to deal with the issue of marijuana in Canada. Because, you know, it used to be that only for medicinal purposes you could use that drug. Now I think they're...
How cool.
Your son's still on Shlichus because he's back.
Yeah, he's back.
That's good. He's back from Canada because, you know, you put a young fella in Canada, it's almost as bad as sending him to Holland, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, getting back to the sugya. So we want to get rid of these weeds. And what are we improving now by getting rid of the weeds? Are strangling the zera, so that Rav Yosef puts the emphasis on the relationship between the av and the tolda, not in terms of the way the action is being performed, but in terms of the purpose and the benefit that he's getting. And his benefit here, again, we're going to see Rav Kahana maybe has two benefits, but before we get to Rav Kahana, his benefit primarily is on the zera itself. And if Rav Yosef postulates that he should be chayav mishum zorea. Let me say it one more time. I'm sorry for myself, and I know there are people who understand it even before the words get out of my mouth, and they're very bored when I repeat myself, but I need to repeat myself over and over again until it sinks into my mind. What I'm suggesting is that there's a fundamental machlokas here between Rabbah and Rav Yosef about avos and toldos and the relationship thereof. Rabbah is looking at the pu'ula and he's asking himself, on what object is the pu'ula being done? And he's saying that the object is being done on the karka. You're watering the ground. You're weeding the ground. That makes it a told of what?
Chorish.
Rav Yosef, on the other hand, is asking what is his primary goal. And again, when I say his, as I said a million times over and over again, I don't mean Yankel Beryl. I'm talking when a person does Nikush or he does Mashkes Roim, his goal is to improve the productivity or the growth of the Zera. And therefore, it's a told of Zorea. Okay. That's what I'd like to suggest. I'm going to try to see if I can prove this from Tosfos. Now, in order to appreciate this Tosfos, what we need to do is to learn the kasha of the Gemara. So let's read through the Gemara. Omar Rava Kavase Didi Mistavra. My verdict, my opinion, is more attractive logically. Why? Because Ma Darko Shel Choresh. Okay, let's underline the word Darko. I'm going to suggest that the word Darko does not mean purpose as much as it means the Pu'ula itself. What do you say? No, not the effect, because effect I think is the same as purpose, unless you mean something different by the word effect. I meant Darko means the activity, you know, the effort. The effort of Choresh is Lirpuye Ara. What you're doing is a pu'ula on the karka.
Soften up
the area. Yeah, Rupuye means to soften up the karka, correct. Is Hainami Mirpuye Ara. Amrav Yosef Kavasi Didi Mistabra Ma Darko Shel Zorea Litzmuche Peira. And here I want to put the emphasis not on the pu'ula, but on the purpose of the pu'ula. And the purpose of Zorea is what? To produce. Hachinami, here too, in Menakesh and in Mashke Zera, is Mitzameach. Mitzameach Peira. Mitzmach Peira. How does he have it there?
No, I'm thinking. I'm sorry. It sounds like Latzmiach.
Yeah, Latzmiach. But okay, I don't know. You have to know the dignity. I thought you were quoting Rabbi Steinsaltz here.
No.
Does he put vowels in the
Gemara? No, it's not from Olika. I'm using your.
Oh, right. That's Gemara Shabbos, so that's not going to help him. Okay, whatever it is, Mitzameach Peiro. Oh. Omalei Abai L'Rabba. Ludidich kasha, Ulrav Yosef kasha ludidach. Okay, I have a kasha on everyone. Why? So again, Rabbosai, keep in mind the rules of the game here, right? The ground rules, as we call them, is that Abai is asking a kasha against whom?
Both.
Okay, that's the key to this tosis here. That the kasha has to be difficult against both of them. They're both coming under attack. Why Abai? Where am I?
Yosef?
Yeah. Lididach kasha, why is it difficult going to Rabba? Because Rabba is saying Mishum Choresh in Mishum Zorea lo. The Rabbi Yosef kasha, Mishum Zorea in Mishum Choresh lo. No, at this point, what Rabbi said, what would you have said based on the discussion that we had earlier about Zriel Yachar Harisha, that perhaps you can only be chai of what?
One
malacha. Maybe one pu'ula could only engender one malacha. You decide whether it's Malechas Choresh, which would be Rabba's opinion, or Malechas Zorea, which would be Rav Yosef's opinion. Make that decision, but don't confuse me and tell me that with one pu'ula you can generate two malachas. V'chi teima kol heichadika tatilo machai velachado v'omar avkahana zomer v'tzorech li eitz. And now watch what happens here. In the classical case of zomer, what does he do with after he prunes the tree? I mean, you've seen it, you know. I remember my sister Solzhen Gesung lives in Manhattan Beach in Brooklyn. Yeah, well, that's where all the Russian Jews live over there, the mafiosa. Anyway, they have these big beautiful mansions there, and they have these what do they call them, the hedges, you know. The hedges are literally the size of the tallest lulav. I don't know if you ever saw, there was a guy at the Kotel this year, I don't know if you saw him, with a lulav that was about 3 meter high. I mean, you say you can't even see the top of the hedges. Anyway, so you pay a garden very expensive to prune the hedge. What happens with all that stuff? So legally, according to the law, he's got to clean up that mess. He's not allowed to leave it on the ground. So that's classical Zomer. But what about the following scenario? That's what Rav Kahana wants to address. He actually has a use for the branches that he's cutting off. He's going to use them for firewood. What?
For the prunes.
I don't know what you mean by prunes. I'm not sure if he's growing prunes. Are they dry prunes or fresh prunes? I don't know. But what I mean to say to you is that in addition to improving the growth product, potential of the tzemach, right, he also needs the branches. You know, he's going to whittle them down and use them, I don't know, for his campfire. So what happens now? Chayev Shtayim. achas mishum notea, the achas mishum kotzer. Why is he chayev mishum notea? He's improving the growth. Why is he chayev mishum kotzer? Because he's going to use the branches, and that's called meleches kotzer. And the Gemara blight kasha. That's the end of the sukkah. So now let's take a look at Tosus Divrei Maschil Kamarape Ara. Tosus says, now these words Kamarape Ara are going on Rab, correct? So Tosus says, Debosar Ikar Hamalocha Azlinon. Yeah, very funny. He's begging the question. We don't know what the Ikar of Malach is. That's exactly what Rab and Rav Yosef are fighting about. What do you mean? You know, Rabba goes Basar Ikar of Malach. What are you telling me? Of course Rabba goes Basar, and Rav Yosef doesn't go Basar Ikar. They both go Basar Ikar of Malach. The question is, how do you determine what's your parameter for the Ikar of Malach? Says Tosis, Dome Lechoresh. Dome lechoresh. So let's underline those two words, dome lechoresh, because this is the key, according to Tosfos, to understand the sheet of Rabba. Dome lechoresh. Then he writes, okay, these are the difficult words in Tosfos. Machsheves hanefesh. I'm sorry. Where did I lost the place. Oh, I'm sorry. I skipped to the second Dome Lechoresh. Rav Yosef, Afal Gav de Ikar Molocha Dome Lechoresh Machsheves HaNefesh. I mean, it gets very poetic here. I would have dropped the word Nefesh here, but Machsheves, right? Machshava Lav l'repuye ara. Again, it could be that Tosis might have to agree, and Rav Yosef would have to agree that there is a repuy ara. My gosh, you know, he is improving the karka as a result of the weeding process and as a result of the watering the ground. But what's the machsheves hanefesh? Rabosa, how would you translate it? Not literally. I'm not looking for a answer. His motivation, right? His tachas. What motivates him? I think, Rabosai, that this is what I rest my case. I think that what Rav is saying is that let's look at the Dome Lechoresh, the Dimyon. That's what I wrote here in the bottom, the Dimyon. You know, you look at the Pu'ula and forget about the Machsheves HaAdam. And Rav Yosef says, no, let's look at the Dimyon in terms of Machsheves HaAdam. What is he motivated by? Again, I'm insisting here in a footnote, it's just a footnote, that I don't believe for one moment that Rav Yosef denies the benefit that he has in terms of the character. You know, otherwise, Rav and Rav Yosef are not talking to each other. There's no common language. You know, Rav says, Repuye Ara. Right? Repuye Ara. And Rav Yosef says, what, there's no Repuye Ara? There is Repuye Ara. But if you ask the person, why did you get involved in this, and what's your ultimate goal, his answer would be, that he wants to improve the zera, which in the language of Rav Yosef is litzmuche peri. Ubahachi polig, the rabba savar lebasar maisa medaminan le. Isn't that beautiful? Lebasar maisa medaminan le. No, it's the ikar dimyon between the av and the told is in the maisa. I lost the place again. Yeah, velo achar hamachshava should be. Do you have a space between the mem and the ches? That's just a printing error. It should say velo achar hamachshava. Rav Yosef so basa machshava azlina. Says basa ma'is azlina, basa machshava azlina. Davi ikar velo azlina basar hadimyon. Is Mamela Rabosai, who can tell me what defines a tolda according to Abaye, and hopefully according to Rav Kahana as well? What's the answer?
No.
A plus B. Exactly. In other words, according to Rabbi Rav Yosef, you have to define this Torah. It belongs to an Av, but only one Av. There are two possible definitions. Do I relate the Av to the Torah because of Maisa or because of Machshava? Those are your two choices, but it's an either-or situation. You can't have your cake and eat it. Comes along Abaye and says, nay, and I'll prove from Rav Kahana that if you have both a Pa'ula, a Dimion Basar Maisa as Linon, and also you have at the same time Basar Machshava as Linon, then you chai for Shtayim. So I think what's going on here...
You're chayef for either one.
Well, it depends what the hasra was, but theoretically it could be chayef for shtayim if they gave you a double hasra. Or, but forget about that. What I just told you is ridiculous, because you can't kill a person twice. Forget about hasra. I'm talking about... Wait a minute. But there is something intelligent to what I said. You can go give him either hasra. That's what you were saying, Rabbi. So when you kill him, you can either kill him because he violated hasra on this or on that, either malach. Oh, but really, the answer to your question is forget about hasra. We're talking about shogeg, and the question is how many chatos does he have? So both Rabbi and Rav Yosef say in these two cases that you can only chayav him one chatos. So the machlokas, how do you determine the relationship between the tolden and av? How do I subsume the tolden? According to Abaye and Rav Kahana, you could be chayav two chatos. One chatos is b'toras the tolda of choresh, and that's depending upon basar maisas. And one is the tolda of Zorea, because Basar Machshava is Lino. Now, let's take the case of Rav Kahana and see if this system works, if the theory works. So he was Zomer V'tzorech Li'et. Okay? So I want to suggest the following. That as far, and he's Chayav Mishum what? Mishum Kotzer and Mishum Zorea. As far as Maisa is concerned, just 1 second, give me a second. As far as Maisa is concerned, see, I'm influenced here by Rabbi Nachum Zemba. Just 1 second. You have it, Rabbi, but I'm slow, so give me a minute. So according to, if you're talking about what? Basar Machshava, something, why is he Chayav Mishum? He's Chayav Mishum Kotzer. Yeah, I got it. Go ahead, Rabbi. I want to say that his main Machshava is for what? Is to, why do people prune things? Right? I'm talking in Rav Kahana. Are we on the same page, Rav Moshe? I'm asking in Zomer V'tzarech Li'etzim, why is he Chayv Shtayim according to Rav Kahana? And Abai uses that as a proof that one Pu'ula could generate the violation of two different Avos. One Av because Basar Machshav Azlina, and the other because of Basar Maisa Azlina.
Because
okay, so again, tell me which definition, Rava's Maisa or Rav Yosef's Machshava, definition produces which malacha? There's a technical point here that we have to be very careful about. If this statement of Rav Kahana is an upshlug to both Rava and Rav Yosef, right? That we proved from the Gemara. Then what we're going to say is that Rava, if your definition is correct, how can it be chayv for malacha X? And in Rav Yosef's reference, how can it be chayv for malacha Y? So what I'm suggesting is that what we're trying to prove is that there are two definitions of tolda in relation to the Av, and they're both valid. And that's what Abaye is arguing based on Rav Kahana against Rabbi Rav Yosef, that Rabbi Rav Yosef is saying, well, no, what determines the Tolda? Markin Islay, Umarkin Islay, Machshav and Maisa. Comes along Abaye and he says, they both are correct, and Yechai Fishtai. Where does he see in the case of Zomer V'tzarech Li'etzim that both are correct?
Zomer is
Basar
Machshava, and
Nitiya
is
Basar Maisa. Wait, Zomer, that's not fair.
No,
that's not fair.
The other way around.
Because, yeah. You know, in both cases, it's Zomer. You know, that's all he's doing is Zomer. But I want you to tell me why it's Chayav Mishum Zorea and Chayav Mishum Ktzira.
Ktzira is Machshava.
Excellent.
And Nitiya is Zorea is Maisa.
And Zomer. And so, right? And
Zomer,
Nitiya is Maisa.
And kosher is for historically.
Wait a minute, but does wait? Yeah, no, just give me another second. No, I think you're right, but I just want to make sure it works out with Rav Menachem Zemba. I don't want to step on Rav Menachem Zemba's feet again. Rav Menachem Zemba said that what that zomer. So again, schayev shtayim mishum zoreya. 1 second. I understand. I don't understand. Why is Zomer a Maisa Zeria? That's how it doesn't work. I thought it worked out according to Rav Menachem Zemba. Why is it Zorea? Zorea means putting something into the ground. Here he's taking things out. No Tea means putting something into the ground. The only difference between Zorea and Notea is that Zorea is in Zroim and Notea is in is in branches. Right. It's a Shtilim, what we call. You know, is in Ilanos. So this is to Zroim, but this is to Ilanos. So again, I'm convinced. This is not good. Okay. Oh, my learning road shot. Oh, I was so excited. 1 second. He wants to use what?
They're both muscles.
Well, cutting and taking away.
So one second, but my whole thesis. Wait, Rabbi, I don't want to get rid of my whole thesis. I'm in a gambit over here. I got this shochad here. Wait a second, I've been robbed. Wait a second. I want to figure out why is this a kasha? This is going to be a kasha because both. See, Rabbi Nachum Zemba was the one. Were you with me, Rabbi, when we did Rabbi Nachum Zemba, right?
No.
No? It depends on which day of the week, you know.
According to Rabbi, we'll also go back to Maisa, right? Not Machshava. You would argue, how could you have Michael when I don't want the Eitzim? And I prune for the growth. I shouldn't be chayv because it was I'm not chayv machshava. And the mice is not a mice is ria. It's not a mice is ria. It took away. It didn't put in. So I only have machshava. You're not chayv machshava. So you wouldn't be chayv for zmir according to Rava. But yet you are chayv. I'm sure he agrees. You're chayv for zmir. There's all there.
He's
doing an act to the tree that you want the tree to grow better. But that's called Zriya.
Not by our definition. This is the mice of Zriya is putting in the ground, not taking out. And here I'm taking away pieces of the tree to make it grow better. That was
Rabbi Nachum Zemba. I wasn't Mechadish.
I wasn't Mechadish. I'm just using that definition. Without that definition.
The definition is one of Machshava. What is my intention? What is my goal? My goal is to better the tree.
And also to feed my campfire.
Let's take one at a time.
Okay.
To better the tree. So pruning is to better the tree.
So is that called Machshava or Maisa?
That's
Machshava.
That's Machshava.
Yeah.
Okay, now get to Kotzer. Why is it
called Kotzer? Kotzer is also Machshava.
Also Machshava.
No,
so it's not in, it's not as geschmack as I wanted it to. Because Rabbi, what was my vested interest here? I wanted to try to show that both definitions of a tolda are correct. Wait, just give me a second, Yechiel. Wait a minute. I'm not as fast as you. Both definitions of what? Both definitions of av and tolda are correct. Correct. And therefore, if Rabbi would agree that Machshava is enough to create a Tolda, if Rav Yosef would agree that Dimyon Lamais is enough to create a Tolda, then he should be Chayev Shtayim. That's what I thought we were proving from Zomer. That's not really so. What we're proving from Zomer is that you can be Chayev Shtayim. But we're not proving that both definitions are correct.
So why not? Why can't Zomer, in the form of Tzira, be chayv for Kotzer?
Yeah.
Why is it not the Maisa? That's what the Maisa of Tzira is, of Zomer is. I'm cutting it off.
Ah.
That is.
You want to shift it the other way. Oh, that's good. Maybe that's what I had in mind, and I lost it. Okay, good, you feel. Shkaya. He's saying like this, that Fakir, the reason why Yechav Mishum Zoreya is because Azlid and Basar Machshava, and the reason why Yechav Mishum Kotzer is because Azlid and Basar Maisa. But you have to add, and that's what I pointed out before, that even Rav Yosef, that even Rabba, who says that your chayav mishum choresh, would have to agree that there's yipui karka, right?
Yeah.
In other words, again, Rabba is saying that yipui karka. Just 1 second.
Just one second.
Rabba was the one who says he's chayav mishum machshav, correct?
No. Rabba is because of
Maisa. Oh, Rabba was a okay. Let me get that. So Rabba was mishum Maisa. Right, but you have to agree that there is a tachlis to the malacha. Otherwise, it becomes makalkel or so. You know, I don't know how we go into that right now. So here too, you're going to have to assume that according to Rabba, just one second. No, I just want to say this: that if Luyatsuyer, he was zomer and he threw the twigs
exactly.
into the ground,
he might say he's not chayv zomer at all, and he has to be chayv.
Right. No. I'm talking about kotzer.
Well, kotzer is not chayv kotzer. Why is he chayv zomer? Rabba doesn't hold you go basu and machshava. The only thing you have going for the tia zriya is machshava. He doesn't go basu machshava. So you can say he's not chayv zomer at all.
I'm not sure if we're on the same plane here. We're saying that he's chayv for kotzer because of maisa, right. Correct?
But
and that was Rabba.
He throws it away. He doesn't want the branches. Then he doesn't have kotzer at all.
Why?
Because he didn't do his melachas machshavas here.
But
I understand.
Yeah, but there's a bit of a chiddush.
But Rabba hold his chayv v'zriya in that case.
For sure.
Why? He doesn't go pas a machshava. Rabba doesn't agree with that. Rabbi doesn't say you don't go pas machshava. The only reason I can be chayv v'zriya because I go pas my machshava. I don't have machshava v'zriya. But you don't go pas machshava.
Wait, I lost you again. I thought you said he's not interested in the hedges.
Does Rabbi
that he cuts off?
Rabbi says to take a tolada and to be chayv v'zriya because Rabbi has to be doing the mount of the ma'isa.
Right.
You don't go pas a machshava. So over here, the only thing I have is machshava.
Because as far as kotzer is concerned, that's a dimyan in maisa.
And but he doesn't want the branches, so that's out the window. So now he's how can he be chayv v'zriya if it's only a machshava issue when he doesn't go basa machshava?
Right. In that case, he wouldn't be chayv at all.
Apparently.
Yeah. Is that a kasha? I mean, I don't think that's a problem. Again,
it's not a problem.
Sure it is.
No.
Zomer. If I do zomer.
Right.
Right. It's not a problem. I'm not chayv on anything, according to what he said.
Well, no, again, wait a minute. The case that Yechiel is giving
according to Rabba,
is where he's Zomer, and he doesn't need the Eitzim.
Okay, so what have I
done? So he's not Chayef anything.
That's right. So
why is that a problem? So I think that's Emes Lamito. That's Emes Lamito.
That Zomer is not Chayef for anything
if he doesn't need. Because again, according to Rabba, since Zomer is a Toldo, you can only be Chayef because of the Dimyum Maisa. That's the only thing that justifies its status as a Toldo.
So
and here, in Dimyum Maisa, he's throwing away the hedges. You know, but I don't think that's a cash. It's a very good point.
Rabba,
I'm not trying to detract from the Chiddush, but I'm just saying I don't see it as a cash.
According to Rabba, Zomer is not a
Toldo. No, Zomer is a Toldo of Kotzer, according to Rabba. But only if he needs the hedges. He's got a campfire.
The byproduct of the tree doing better. You're right.
So, Rabbi Moshe, let's just summarize the maskana here. The maskana is very gishmak. Very gishmak. The Gemara of Abaye and Rav Kahana are objecting to both Rabba and Rav Yosef. Why? Because in the case of Zomer Vitzarachli Eitzim, right? Oh, no. I just wanted to make one point, Yechiel. Did I make this point already? I'm just repeating myself, I don't remember. But you could only be chayef for kotzer, according to Rabba, if you need the eitzim.
Right.
Now, why is that so? So you pointed out Melechus Machshavas. It's a bit of a chiddush. It's not a good, it's definitely Emes Lamita, but it's a chiddush. Why? Because if the koveh of a tolda is dimyon, then by definition we're suggesting that Zomer is a tolda of kotzer. So why are you potter? You know, before you get to Melechus Machshavas, you hear the kasha. I mean, Yechiel is ready chubasa mitzino, but before we hear his answer, he's answering a very fundamental question. Why do you need Zomer v'tzorech li'etzim according to Rabba to be chayev from Melechus Kotzer? According to Rabba, let him be chayev from Melechus Kotzer simply because of the Dimya Lamaisa. So the answer is Dimya Lamaisa gives you a tolda, but then we go into the regular universal rules of Melechus Shabbos that you have to have in mind that constructive purpose. So let's just summarize. Again, I know it's getting really, really late now. But to summarize everything that we did here in Masechta Moed Katan, it works like this. Rabba and Rav Yosef have two alternative definitions of a tolda. The nafkamina is going to be these two cases that we've discussed, of Menakesh and Mashkezroy. Rav's definition is Azlin and Basar, machshava. Rav Yosef's definition is and Rav Yosef's definition is linen basar machshava. The Gemara of Abaye objects to both of them, and the Gemara assumes that in zomer v'tzarach le'etzim yechayv shtayim, because you fulfill both definitions, and both definitions, and either definition is sufficient to generate a chiyuv tov. You don't need, you know, both Rava's definition will supply you with a tolda. And so wait a minute, is it possible to say that Rava also accepts the definition of Machshav, and Rav Yosef also accepts the definition of Maisa, just that they both assume you can only be chayav for one, and only in a case where you have, we have both Machshav and Maisa, that's where they find it out.
But based on what's occurring?
Now let's see, would that mess up the kasha from Zomer? Let's just think. In the case of Zomer, yeah, in the case of Zomer, he has both. So that's where there's going to be Rav and Rav Yosef. You see, here's the question I'm raising. This is pretty way out. I don't know, it's probably wrong, but it's interesting to think about. What would Rav say if Lu Yitzuyi did a malacha that was only similar to the Av from the perspective of Machshava, or vice versa in Rav Yosef from the perspective of Maisa? Is it that they're fighting it out in these cases because it's either or? That premise is you can only be chayv for one malacha, but enochinami, they both accept, at least in a fallback position, both definitions of a told. Do you want to think about that? I don't know. This could be crazy what I'm saying. Absolutely wrong. But do you hear what I'm suggesting? Well, I don't know. It could be with passing like the Maskotas HaSugi, that either definition of Hava Malacha could work simultaneously for the same Pa'ul. What I'm suggesting is maybe Rabbi and Rav Yosef could also accept both definitions of a Tolda, but not simultaneously.
That's Rav Kahana.
He accepts on it. Technically, he wouldn't accept it.
Right. Yeah, Rabbi Rav Yosef would. I'm just wondering if that's a possibility.
Then you're saying, then we go back to the question. Yeah, it's over here, but Lotzor, if Leitzim, he'd be chayav for the team. He always would accept it.